Yes, I hope everyone had a beautiful week. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos. Hope everything's going well. If you please down for Yehuda ben Shifa, Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel, Binyamin Ovadia ben Esther, Moshe Dov ben Fega Bracha, Rachel bas Ilana, Yehudit bat Wina, Yehudit bat Wina, Wina, Wacha Basilana, Leia Pesha Bastina, Chaya Malka Bat Batsheva, Avam Yeshiyahu Ben Aviva, Netanol Ilan Ben Shena Tzipowa, Yukutiel Zalman Ben Sawa, Brina Bracha Bas Wina, Daniela Bracha Zahava Bas Fegaleya, Miriam bat Saul Rezel, Sprinzer bat Esther, Baruch Tzvi ben Esther, Pinchas Eliezer ben Esther, they're not related, Yehonasan Menachem ben Perol, Moshe Yitzchak ben Bela Perol, this person, Shira bat Devoa Leah, is very sick if you can down for a shot, Shira bat Devoa Leah, Shira bat Devoa Leah, Rivka bat Shoshana, Leah bas Rachel, Avraham Meir ben Bela Fega, Avraham Meir ben Bela Fega, Hashem should send all of them a refuah shlema bekarov. Please down for them. So this week's parsha is parsha's truma. It says vikuli truma. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu gather me truma. You know it's stucker for the Mishkan. So Hava Sternbach Shlita from Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh says, what do you mean leave? What's the leave for? You just say kuli truma. Take for me donation for the Mishkan. So Hava Sternbach said sometimes you might have a gabay, one or two gabay, and we'll collect the money for a Torah institution. You know. A shul, whatever, a seminary, a yeshiva, you know, a Torah institution. And I wanted to go buy him, you might have many, but you have many go buy him collecting money for them, but you might have one or two of those go buy him who might get like a big donation, might get like $1 million, and they come back and they're so proud, they go, wow, look, that guy got $1 million, one or two of them, not all the go buy him, don't do this, but I'm saying one or two of those might say, listen, you know, wow, I got $1 million for the yeshiva or the seminary or the shul, look how great I am. That's why Hashem, Vaykhuli, take the eye out of it. Vaykhuli Truma, when you're collecting money for tzedakas, take the eye out of it. Don't make yourself so great. Remember, it's all from Hashem. Vaykhuli, take the eye out of it. Don't be, you know, again, Gabayim don't do this. We're just saying, what if Ogabe would do this? Then Rav Eliezer Ginsburg, a Rebbe in Yeshiva Meir in Brooklyn, said another beautiful word. I think Rav Ginsburg quoted Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu did not give any donation to the building of the Mishkan. Zakra Valeza Ginsburg said, why not? Zakra Ginsburg, because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have given money to the Mishkan, then the rest of the Jewish people, the rest of the Yidden, the rest of Bnei Yisrael would say, oh, we also have to give. And you know, and so Moshe Rabbeinu felt that therefore if he gave, it might force other, you know, other members of the Jewish people to give. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to give the donations on their own and totally lishma, not because they're following him. Well, not because they feel peer pressure because Moshe Rabbeinu is giving. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu did not give. As we know, Bnei Yisrael did give. You know, gave wholeheartedly. The Vilna Gaon said, V'chuli truma, and if you look at the Pasuk, Tekhu truma si, right? Tekhu truma si, take my truma. So, Zakta Vilna Gaon, why does it have to repeat in the same Pasuk, take truma, and then again, take truma. Why does it have to repeat it twice? Zakta Vilna Gaon is that beautiful what? Because Hashem said at the end, I want to give Isha, I want to take truma only for those who are will. I want to, and Hashem told Moshe, take truma from those Yidden, from those Jews who really want to give, who are wholeheartedly. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, how do you know that? When they say, Tikhu Chumati, when they say, please take my truma, please take this donation for the building of the Mishkan, please take it. And that's why Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how you know if a guy is willing to give or not. When they say, Tikhu Chumati, take my truma, please. And then we know the Aron Kodesh did not have any measurements. It didn't have any measurements. All the measurements of the Aron Kodesh were halves. If you look at the Aron Kodesh, they were all half. All the measurements of the Aron Kodesh were half. So this, I believe it's the Siftei Kohen, right? Baruch Newman, Rabbi Young Israel, Spring Valley, called me the Siftei Kohen. He said, why was it half? Because the Torah is telling us, the Torah is telling Bnei Yisrael, is telling the Yidden, that he's not complete unless Jews learn it. The Torah is not complete until Jews start learning the Torah and keeping the Torah. Until Jews learn and keep the Torah is not complete, and that's why it's half. The Olal HaSafayim, that's a sefer from the, I believe, the Kli Yaakov, he said a little different shot. He said that you never complete in your learning of Torah, and so you have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe is not complete in the Torah until they have students. So meaning that you're not complete in learning of Torah until you have a Rebbe and until the Rebbe has students. Because that's the only way to get complete in the Torah. That's why it's a half. Because obviously, you need a Rebbe and you need a Rebbe and Talmidim. That's the only way the Torah gets complete. The Walag said that's if he knows the Badim, the poles that held the Aron Kodesh were never removed. So the Walag just gave a Jewish pshat. The Aron Kodesh, that's the Rebbe, that's the teacher. The Badim are the students. Meaning the students, they both support each other. The Rebbe or the teacher support the students by teaching them Torah, how to keep it, how to learn it, and the students support the Rebbe, because the Badim were never removed, by asking questions, by supporting the Rebbe. That's why the Badim were never removed. And it's a Jewish pshat, but Aaron starts with an Aleph, and the Beis start with Badim start with a Beis. That's the Aleph Beis of the Torah. You need a Rebbe, you need a teacher, and they also need students. It can never be removed, the students. Rav Sternbach from Yushalayim, Yerua Kodesh, gave a different shot. He said the Badim, it was Allah that the Badim, the poles that carry down Kodesh, can never be removed. So Rav Sternbach said, who are the Badim? The Badim are some of those people, represent those people who support the Torah financially, and I guess also emotionally, but give a lot of money to, But Zuck Rav Sternbach, we were telling the people who support the Torah financially, you can't be removed from the Torah. Meaning when you're about to make a business deal, or you're about to buy your house, or you're about to buy a car, whatever, you're about to go on vacation, go to the Torah, go to the Rebbeim, go to the Rabbanim of the shuls, go to your teachers and ask them, is it proper what I'm doing? Should I be doing this business deal, even because I'm going to be doing this? Is it proper to buy this house? Is it proper to buy this car or go on this vacation? That's Chad. You can't remove your poles for business deals or other ideas. No, it can never be removed, the poles. Not only when you support it financially, but also when you have those dealings in your life. You have to always ask the Rebbe what to do. But Sternbach said that. Then it says, on top of the Aron was Kuvim. So I believe Yoshe Beer from Brisk. Again, why Baruch Newman, Rabbi Young Israel, Spring Valley, quoted me. But Yoshe Beer from Brisk said, the Kuvim look like children's faces. Zakva Yoshe Beer. Because the only way Torah survives is through teaching children Torah. The only way Torah survives is through children. And just adding on, that's why he's saying Krishma, Latem Thomas Benechem. You have to teach your children, your kinderlach. It said Mordechai at Tzadik, when that's we're going to be celebrating Purim, taught the kids with Torah. The only way Torah will survive is if you have children learning Torah. Because if you don't, the generation is going to die out and there'll be no children learning Torah, the Torah is going to be lost. That's why children were on top of the Aron Kodesh. To teach us that Torah had to be learned, that Torah always had to be taught to children to keep the Torah going. I think it's the Olah Safayim again, I believe, I'm not sure, but again, Rabbi Baruch Newman said this, but I believe it's the Olah Safayim said, the Kuvim had wings going up to Shemayim, and the Kuvim were facing each other. So I think it's Olah Safayim, because there's two aspects of the Torah. Wings going up to Shemayim, that's what represents the mitzvah bin Adam Lamakom, mitzvahs that we have between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Facing each other, that represents the mitzvahs between bin Adam L'chaveiro, between us. That's why they were facing each other. Then when we saw Solanta Zatzal, said a little different shot. He said, why was the children top down? Because children are always willing to change. Children, are always willing to change. Children are able to change. You're able to change children easily. Zakwa Yisrael Salanta, what Hashem is telling us, we have to be like children. We should not be stubborn in our ways. We should be like children and willing to change in order to keep the Torah and live the Torah. The Walag just added a little different shot. Walag said children are always asking questions and always and are pure. Children don't know a lot of the schmutz of the world. We have to be like children when keeping the Torah. Don't run after the schmutz of the world and always ask questions. You know, ask questions during a shiur, ask questions, you know, that's the only way you're going to grow in Torah. If you remain far away from the schmutz like a child, you remain pure and you ask questions. The Siftei Kohen said the Aron Kodesh was right near the Shulchan. Why was it right near the Shulchan? Because, Zakta Siftei Kohen, in Ein Kemach, Ein Torah. In Ein Torah, Ein Kemach. If there's no Torah, you won't have Panasa. And if no Panasa, you won't have Torah. I mean, they go hand in hand. That's why the Aron Kodesh was right near the Shulchan. You have to have both. The Walag, again, the Walag just said a little different shot. The Walag said that he said a little pshat. He said the Aron Kodesh came before the Shulchan. Because you have to remember, Zakta Walag, Torah comes first. Yes, you have to go to work. But remember, Torah comes first. You should be going to work to learn Torah. You should be going to work in order to keep the Halakha Torah Kedosha. Remember, Torah comes first in your life. I mean, if example, a boss says to you, you're going to have to work on Shabbos, and you know you can't do it luckily, then you quit your job. Again, Torah comes before Panasa. Remember that. That's why Aron Kodesh comes before the Shulchan. Well, David Palm from Toronto, I think, called me Be'er Shmuel. I think Be'er Shmuel. He said, if he knows, the Aron Kodesh did not have any feet. The Shulchan had feet. Other items had, you know, feet. But Aron Kodesh had no poles below it. Did not have any feet. Zakwa David Palm from Toronto called me the Be'er Shmuel because he said the Torah does not need support. The Torah does not need support. The Torah can support itself. That's why there was no legs below it, to teach us the Torah does not need support. It could support itself. Again, the Walag just gave a little bit different shot. The Walag said, why was the Torah, the Aron Kodesh, like almost on the floor? There was no legs. Because Hashem is telling Christ, or telling the Jewish people, the Torah is for everybody. Every Jew, every Yid, every member of Bnei Yisrael could grab the Torah. But if there would have been feet on it, you might have said to yourself, the Torah is only for the higher echelon. It's only for higher upper class of people. But Hashem is putting the Aron Kodesh on the floor, like, because Hashem is telling Christ, the Torah is for everybody. Everyone could grab the Torah. Well, Moshe Feinstein's Asar said, not every Fushat, if he knows, the Aron Kodesh was in Kodesh Kedoshim, but it took up no space. But it was a nace, of course, a miracle. The Aron Kodesh took up no space. Zakwa Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, he said, yes, a beautiful pshat. He said, the pshat is that when you're a Talmud Chacham, when you're a Rebbe, or even a teacher, you take up no space. You can't have any gaiva. You have to be humble. The only way to become a tzaddik or Talmud Chacham or tzaddikus, if you're humble. You have to be like the Aron Kodesh that takes up no space. Rav Sternbach from Yerushalayim said that there was a cloth that covered the Mishkan. It was made of different colors. Rashi points it out. Zak was Sternbach. Why different colors? Because every Jew has different jobs on this. One person is a Talmud, learns Torah all day. Another one is the Ches. Another one gets Stucker. Yes, all of us have to keep the Torah and learn the Torah, but everyone has different jobs. That's why it's different colors. And I might be changing Rosh Sternbach's words around, but Hashem is saying that's how the Mishkan survives, when all the Jews do their different jobs. That's how why it's different colors on top of the Mishkan to teach us. Hashem is saying the Mishkan only survives when every Jew does different jobs. That's how the Mishkan will survive. I believe a Moshe Shapiro Zatzal from Yerushalayim or Kodesh said that a little different shot. He said every Jew has different colors, meaning every Jew has different hashkafas in life. Every Jew has different hashkafas in life. You know. One might wear a strimer, one might wear a black hat, one might not wear any hat, one might wear a shaito, one might not. You know, every Jew has different colors. But when we're all united, I mean, when we're all on one sheet of paper, when we're all on one cloth, say, when we're all on one cloth and we're all next to each other, that's how the Mishkan survives, when you're united, when we don't have fights. We're all united. And when Moshe Feinstein Zatzal is another beautiful for short vote. I know everybody said this last year, but I thought it was a beautiful vote. The Aron Kodesh are made of gold, wood, and gold. Zakwa Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Why was it that way? Because Zakwa Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. That, you know, when someone opens up a sefer, they're so excited. Wow, I'm learning Torah. It's like gold. Then they hit a little bump along the way, it becomes like wood. Zakwa Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Push yourself and push yourself. It's going to become gold again. You just have to push yourself. You have to look for the gold again. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. I'm going to leave you some Divrei Torah. Again, if your local Orthodox rabbi, these are halachas just discussed at the Shabbos table. Rav Yaakov Zesmith told me these thoughts. He said, you know, can you put, let's say Shabbos afternoon, can you put dishes in the dishwasher? And we're talking about dishwashers not on. So Rav Yaakov Zesmith said there's no problem putting dishes in dishwasher to storage them, you know, because even though the dishwasher can turn on after Shabbos to wash them, there's no problem because, you know, because first of all, leaving them in the sink could cause smell and could cause other things. You know, you might run out of room. So it's no problem. That's not a problem of a chana. And Rav Yaakov Zesmith called me Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, who said you can even wash them. You can rinse them out. You can rinse them. Sorry, rinse the dishes, you know. Because he said, well, Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal said, these are normal, that's a normal procedure to rinse them. It's not a problem of a chana. But Yaakov Zesmith also said, let's say you have non-Jewish help. You have a non-Jewish person helping you out on Shabbos. Zakwa Yaakov Zesmith, you cannot tell that person, please wash the dishes in Shabbos morning or please wash it Friday night. You cannot do that. That's a problem, you know. But what you could say to the person, you can wash it whenever you want. The earlier, the better. This is how you can wash it earlier, you can wash it later. Whenever you want, you can wash the dishes. But you should not tell the person, please wash it now. You know, the earlier, the better. That you cannot do. And Yaakov Zesmith called me, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal says, can you study for an English exam? Can you study for an English test on Shabbos? So first of all, Yaakov Zesmith said, you probably should not be studying English on Shabbos to begin with. You know, you should be, you know, engrossed in Torah learning or saying Tehillim, you know, or reading Gedolim, but you know, whatever, you know. But you should not be, you know, English study. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal said, if you are studying for English exam, there's no problem because you are getting knowledge on Shabbos. So it's not a problem of hachana. It's not a problem of preparing for after Shabbos. But Zuck, I believe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal said, but if you're saying, when you're about to study, you're about to say, I'm studying now for my exam that's going to be on Monday, that could be a problem then. If you say it verbally, that I'm going to start studying now so I'm going to be prepared for my exam on Monday or on Sunday, that should not be done. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos, and I hope everything's going well. Zai Gesund.